Our first reading today is from Psalm 137, one of the psalms from exile, as they find themselves, the people of Israel have been taken out of Israel and been sent in exile to Babylon, and sort of a song here, the need to remember their story. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Then from the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews reflecting on faith. And again, sharing the story, the 11th chapter. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. And then he tells a bit of the story, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old. And Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born. As many as the stars of heaven, as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promise, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had not been thinking of the land that they had left, if they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. And may God bless this reading and hearing of this holy word. Gabriel Garcia Marquez wrote a novel a few years back that was both funny and frightening, A Thousand Years of Solitude. It is the story of a small town in South America. Through an odd series of circumstances, the people in the town contract a rather strange and disturbing disease. When one gets the illness, one loses the ability to remember. Amnesia sets in. This leads to a rather comical series of adventures in which people forget the names of the farming implements they have used every day. They forget where they placed their tools the day before. In desperation, they make signs. For example, they hang a sign on a cow that reads, "This is a cow. This animal needs milking every day. Don't forget." But as I said, the novel is also sad and even frightening. Because the people also forget each other's names. Can't remember their closest relatives. As we watch an entire town sink into amnesia, we realize that we live each and every day on the basis of the memory of previous days. Wipe out that memory, and the world can become a frightening and chaotic place. Of all the cruel afflictions of Alzheimer's, surely this is the worst. The loss of memory, which leads to the loss of family and friends, eventually to the loss of self. I once came across a piece written by Scott Momaday, a Kiowa Indian, in which he reflected on his boyhood. He told of being taken early one morning by his father to the cottage of an old squaw. His father dropped him off and left. All day long, the old woman told young Scott the story of his people. She told of the beginnings of the tribe at the headwaters of the Yellowstone River, their movement south into what became Kansas and Nebraska. She told of wars with other tribes, the buffalo hunts, the coming of the white man, the terrible winters as they were constantly on the move, running from the soldiers. Then there was the final defeat and the forced march to a reservation in southern Oklahoma. She told the stories and sang the songs of her, of his people. Says Momaday, that evening when I left her house, I was a Kiowa. I think of our psalm for today, the sad cry of a people in exile, fearing they will never see the stars of home again. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And the response? Remember. And so they told their stories. They sang their songs. They refused to allow their captors to erase their memories. The stories reminded them of their primary identity, not as exiles in Babylon, but as the beloved and chosen people of God. The memories gave them hope. The memories reminded them of all the many times God had made a way for them when there seemed to be no way. The memory shook them loose from their grim preoccupation with the present. The memories proclaimed that it was not like this before and gave them hope it would not be like this in the future. And they survived. They kept their identity, and they did, in fact, go home again. The other day, I was with Ben, our grandson. I don't know, but I made some comment about a burning bush. And Ben said, oh, yeah, that's the story of Moses. And he went ahead and told me the story of Moses and the burning bush. Thank God for Sunday school. The memories of our faith are already becoming his memory. The stories of our faith are becoming his story. It brought a tear to my eye, for we are a people built on memory, and if the memory is lost, we are lost. So, of course, the author of the book of Hebrews tells those early Christians about Sarah and Abraham. For the stories remind them where they came from, who they are, and what has formed and continues to form them as a community. Perhaps that's why I love this Sunday, All Saints Sunday, so much. Never get tired of it. I probably preach the same sermon every year. For in remembering the saints, the stories of the saints, those who have touched and shaped our lives, we remember who we are, perhaps even who we are called to be. And in this world, it can be so easy to forget. Now, yes, and we talked about this a little earlier this morning. There certainly are traps and dangers in memory. Memory can become a place to hide. Some people, some churches, hide in their memories and refuse to face the realities of today or tomorrow, longing for the way it used to be, all those good old days, even though those days probably weren't all that good. We've always done it that way. It can be a memory that traps us in time and never lets us move on. Creative new ideas die before they even really have a chance to be born. Memories can also become a dark cave for nursing hatreds and grudges. People, entire cultures, refuse to forget or let go of certain things. Hurts that occurred a generation ago are spoken of as if they happened yesterday. I will never forget what she said. I will never forget what he did. We will never forget what they did to us, and we're going to get them for it. And memories can be hard to trust when they get rather selective. As Fred Craddock says, we forget about the splinters on the old oaken bucket as we brag about the pure, cool water from the well where we drank as children. Trouble is, the water was never really that cold and not particularly safe to drink. And people, and by people I mean our kids, just get tired of hearing us talk about how great things used to be. Boring stories of our glory days, as Bruce Springsteen sang a while back. But acknowledging all that, all the traps associated with remembering, it is still true that memory is vital to life, vital to a community of faith. A far greater trap is amnesia. I think of Scott Momaday learning the story of his people. When Indians were put on the reservation, they were often forbidden by the soldiers to sing their songs or dance their dances. The army encouraged amnesia because people without their stories, without their memories, were so much easier to control. They gradually forgot who they were and then accepted the white man's definition of reality as the only truth. Oh, the world around us gives so much lip service to faith and religion, I suppose especially in an election year. But the fact is that the dominant culture wants to convert us to its definition of what is true and what is real. This is all there is and all that will ever be. You are who we say you are. We will tell you what is possible and what is not. Forget everything else. You are a cog in a vast economic machine, and that is what you will always be. Make no mistake about it, amnesia is still encouraged. Culture will define for you what is real. Ah, but then my 7-year-old grandson tells me the story of Moses and the burning bush. What an incredibly subversive thing for a 7-year-old boy to do. I hope you understand that when Lydia and Rachel tell our kids our biblical stories, they are pretty much breaking apart everything the world, the culture tells our children and youth about themselves and about who they really are. Instead, they're confronting our kids with a whole new reality. They are teaching our kids the true definition of who they really are. It is our sacred responsibility to hand over to each new generation of Christians our stories, to share our memories, for the stories are relentless. They celebrate possibilities which the world around us says cannot happen. They speak of a God who is not defeated and who's not nearly finished with this world or with us. They speak of a future a hope that is not limited by culture's definition of what is possible. The world told Sarah she was barren. She was done. She had no future. Then God had another idea. A young adult shows up in worship some Sunday, thinking she only has a couple of options before her for her path in life. And then she hears about a burning bush, about Abraham and Sarah, about water turned into wine. And she begins to see, no, she has a wide array of possibilities, God-given options, which she is free to embrace. Speaking of our stories, our memories, New Testament scholar Luke Johnson says, these biblical stories shatter the structure of my unbelief, my idolatrous hold on my own interpretations of the world, my own despair at the lack of the world's possibilities. They say to me, this is not a closed system, but one open to its creator, whose possibilities are endless. Yes, to be a Christian is, in part, an exercise in memory. In fact, you could perhaps say that anyone who cannot remember any further back than his or her own life really is a kind of orphan. And that is why we continue to read from this book stories that are 2,000 to 4,000 years old. Because we don't want to forget. And we do not want to be defined by alternate false stories. We want to remember the stories about our true identity, stories that not only recall our past, but also unlock the present and open the door to a future. Frederick Buechner, wonderful writer, says it like this: what do our memories tell us? They tell us that weak as we are, a strength beyond our strength has pulled us through, at least this far to this day. Our memories tell us, foolish as we are, a wisdom beyond our wisdom has flickered up just often enough to light for us, if not the right path through the forest, at least a path that leads forward. Our memories tell us, faint of heart as we are, a love beyond our power to love has kept our hearts alive. To remember the past is to see that we are here today by grace, our survival a gift. And because we remember, we have this high and holy hope that what God has done, God will continue to do. That what God has begun in us and our world, God will, in unimaginable ways, bring to fullness and fruition. I left her house a Kiowa. May you leave this house knowing you are disciples of Christ and beloved children of God. Remember who you are.